This week's episode of Radio Labyrinth is produced by Jason Chappell, Mike Spittler, Mike Hall, Sean Hall, Chad Shepherd, Al McKeon, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Melissa Knowles, Leslie Norman, John Sutherland, Garrett Kimball, Mike D, Eric Malmstrom, Matt Carter, and Beth Van Elswick. Special shout out to our brand new patrons, Kevin Schwartz, Troy Prescott, and Ryan Wilson. If you'd like to become a patron of Radio Labyrinth, simply go on the internet and type in patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Now on with the show.
You take the good, you take the bad. You take
May I help you?
I'm looking for Blair Warner.
You must be her cousin Jerry.
Yes.
Well, I'm a scared. How do you do? She's on the phone. She'll be right back. Would you like to sit down?
Thanks anyway, but I sat all the way up here. Don't worry, I'm not drunk. I have cerebral palsy. When I'm drunk, I walk perfectly straight.
Hey, what's funny? Was it supposed to be?
I hope so. It's in my nightclub app.
Sick. What's he doing making you walk to tell me?
I came here on my own, Doc. I got something I want to show you. It's a book.
Oh, no. I don't read goddamn books on the Civil War.
Look!
I don't need to look. I was goddamn there.
But it'll help me walk better.
Okay, you're referring to the brace on his leg.
Yes.
Your information, Jewel. That boy in the drawing was goddamn able-bodied before he got his leg shot up. Not born with difficulties and hardships that got no cure and took from you the coordination a brace like that would require.
Just looking at the picture and dragging my leg really makes Al crazy.
Fuck Al.
A friend of mine forwarded a tweet to me that someone had tweeted, said, "Oh my God, Jerry Jewell is gay? I thought she had cerebral palsy all this time." Believe it or not, you can do both. See, not only that, you can have cerebral palsy and be Jewish. You can have cerebral palsy and be Catholic and feel guilty about it. You can have cerebral palsy and be an alcoholic and nobody would ever know.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Autumn Fisher, Jeff Leboff, and here's your host, Tim Andrews.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 26 of season 4 of Radio Labyrinth. This is our fourth year. It's our 26th episode, so that's why it's season 4, episode 26. My name is Tim Andrews. There's Jeff Leboff.
Howdy.
And on the phone, no, you're not on the phone. She's sort of here in studio via some weird thing I can't ever figure out. Autumn Fisher.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry, dude who hates Autumn.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he was the only review we had on our Facebook page, and it was 1.0.
Well, what Facebook did is they wiped everybody's reviews, because it happened to the punchline, too.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Why'd they wipe them?
They just wiped them. I don't know.
It was a thing going around Facebook. There were people that were worried that the groups were going to start being shut down.
Uh-huh.
Right, but everybody lost their reviews. I don't know if a server crashed or something, but like... My friend Candace has a dog grooming business out in California, and she lost all her 5 years worth of reviews that she had, and she was really upset.
Well, thank you to everybody who stepped
up and wrote us some reviews. So we're up to 4.8 now.
Well, I bet that guy was glad I wasn't on for the last 16 episodes.
He quit listening.
Yeah.
I hate Autumn Fisher. She sucks. I can't listen to that or the doctrine. And I can't listen to one topic anymore because she... Wait.
I'll listen just, to one topic just, when she's gone.
I just listen to the Greg part and mute the Autumn part.
I miss a lot of the Greg.
Let's see. Hey, welcome to our brand new Radio Labyrinth patrons. We love all of our patrons, and we have some new ones. So Kevin Schwartz, thank you. Troy Prescott.
I love him.
And Ryan Wilson. And what were you going to say?
I love him the most.
And I do, too. I love all of them, but Troy's the best.
Troy Prescott.
Troy Prescott, yeah. A couple of notes from last week that we didn't get to. We had a call-in episode, and we tried to call one of our patrons, and because he's in a different time zone, it was a,
we got listeners in different time zones.
Yeah. Jesse Ruzinski says, it seemed like you guys called me last night. I sort of forgot you guys are on Eastern time. I live in New Orleans, but hopefully we can talk soon. We will.
Yeah, let's call him next call-in episode.
I told him we would. Also, if you're going to continue the summer movies of the past, could you do 1989? We're going to finish on 1989. Batman, Ghostbusters 2, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, The Abyss, and Do the Right Thing, just to name a few. Jeff and I probably saw every single one of those in the theater together.
Oh, The Abyss. I love The Abyss.
Don't you die on me.
Yeah. Fight! Fight!
Fight! And also, Melissa Knowles, she left us a review, not a review, a staff pick. Yes. Pick. And her staff pick was, my staff pick this week is Barry. After weeks and weeks of hearing you guys talk about how amazing it is, I'm assuming she and her husband, moved it up to the binge priority queue. Finally, that freaking NoHo Hank character is the freaking best.
I fucking love NoHo Hank.
That guy's getting a lot of jobs now. After the shipping of the bullet episode with the hang in there cat gif, I was all in. He's super super nice and makes the show. Well, that and Hater plays awkward so well, he's uncomfortable to watch at times. Also, I want Sally to get a bullet. Seriously, hate her. I agree. I
know. They really love that people hate her, though.
Oh, I know they do.
Yeah.
Outside of Game of Thrones, I haven't wanted a character to die this badly since Skylar from
Hey, leave Anna Gunn alone.
Very little of her in the Deadwood movie.
Her husband was killed. Leave her alone. Her husband was killed.
What? That's the best part of Barry, is that you do kind of go back and forth between loving and hating them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Barry is he's not a good guy.
No.
He's
not
right.
At all.
I mean, he's not. But he's such a great guy.
Yeah.
And the same with her, right? Like you hate her, you hate her, you hate her, and then she shows this vulnerability and this honesty, right. And you love her, and then you hate her immediately again.
So speaking of Anna Gunn from Breaking Bad, she was also in Deadwood. She's very limited in the Deadwood movie, thankfully. I never really liked her character. There were good moments between her, though.
Mrs. Bullock.
Speaking of Deadwood, we have a guest tonight coming up later in the show, Jerry Jewell, who played Jewel on Deadwood. She worked at the gym.
Oh, I forgot to ask her if she was going to do a project where she's named after her middle name.
Oh, we did.
Because she was Jerry on Facts of Life.
That's right.
Jewel.
Jewel. She played Blair's cousin, who was a comedian, and she is a comedian in real life. She's very talented, and I can't wait for you guys to hear what we talked to her about.
Yeah.
And then also we're going to take a look at summer movies in 1997.
I wasn't born yet.
Physically or spiritually?
Either way.
But first, let's talk about what's going on. What everybody watched this week?
City on the Hill, you watched that? That Kevin Bacon show?
No, is it good?
You gotta watch it, yeah, it's good.
It's on Showtime, right?
Yes.
And set in Boston. What's it about?
They bring in a new DA, which is that dude from, I can't remember the name of that show. It was a good show. What's the guy's name that's in Falcon and the Snowman? You know who I'm talking about. Timothy Hutton.
Yeah, Timothy Hutton's a great actor.
But he was on that show with this guy. I can't remember the name of it. But
where they were scammers?
Yeah, they played like
I know what you're
fixers or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's that guy from that show. He's a new DA, and Kevin Bacon is like an FBI agent who's like corrupt as hell. And so it's like the back and forth between them.
Okay.
And it's real good. That dude... I can't remember his name, but the dude that was on Justified that tried to kill Raylan with the knife. You remember that guy?
Yeah, I don't remember his name. You should have done some prep here.
Yeah, I know, but that guy plays a dude that robs armored cars in Boston, and he's real good too. Nice. So you should check it out. It's only two episodes old.
Yeah, we're gonna watch it. I told my wife about it because she Jonathan Tucker's that guy's name, and. The guy from Justified.
Right.
Yeah, Caitlin, I told her because she's from Boston. Right. I like, you know, can get her into dramas that way.
And there's not too much of that Boston accent, which there's a little bit of it. Yeah. But they're not like beating it to death like they would on Walking Dead.
Okay. You guys, I watched The Hills reboot.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Did you really?
Because my wife was watching it. Oh, I just sat there.
Was she into The Hills?
Yeah, but I sat there making derisive comments and
yeah,
doing my usual thing, but also enjoying it.
I heard it was annoying.
I didn't know, oh, God, that actress girl who was on The OC, she's on it.
Yeah.
Now.
I don't know her name, nobody but I, yes. Name.
Yeah, we do. She
Lauren
was,
Conrad?
No. She was the Misha Barton. The little girl under the blanket who was suffering from Munchausen's by proxy in a movie we talked about in our last episode where we did summer films, of course. That was, the movie with the dead people. I see dead people.
Right.
The Sixth Sense?
Yes, she was in The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, okay.
God, what are we all high? We can't remember anything.
Six.
I'm super high.
Yeah, you're super stoned.
I went to Edna's Edibles earlier.
Yeah, Edna's Edibles. Girls, you're eating all the pot cookies. Of course, I watched Handmaid's Tale. Are you watching that, Jeff?
Nope.
You don't watch Hulu. That. Autumn, you watch it?
I have not started the new season yet. I binged up until like 2 days before the season premiere.
Right.
So no, I haven't started watching it yet.
Well, this season is so weird compared to the last two. It's kind of
why?
Where do you go? Well, you know, her daughter is in Canada now. Her daughter,
we should say spoiler.
Well, spoiler alert, but everybody, I mean, that's the whole point of the season is that, you know.
Have they gone beyond the book? The book was
way,
like
way beyond the book. They went beyond the book in season two.
And is that lady that wrote the book still alive? What
Yeah, she's working on a sequel right now. She said it's different, but she's so emboldened by the woke people that she has to write a sequel. So now she's writing a sequel. The book is different in a way. You don't really know what happens to her at the end. You know, in the film, the original film that had Faye Dunaway as Selena and Robert Duvall as the commander, and then Natasha Richardson played Offred.
Rest in peace.
And the guy was, you know, the guy that helped her out was played by Aidan Quinn. They get away at the end and go to Canada. Oh, sorry for the spoiler, but
spoiler
it's
alert.
Like 8,000 years old.
What year did that book come out?
Yvonne Strahovski's character is really good.
Yvonne Strahovski.
Yeah, she is pretty hot.
Who that?
She was on Chuck.
She's Serena.
Oh, okay.
And she was also on Dexter. She was in that horrible last season of Dexter. Joseph Fiennes, Fiennes, plays Fred Waterford. Anne Dowd is really standing out this season. She's Aunt Lydia. She's really, really good. I'm not going to talk about much of anything else, but Alex Bledel. Is that how you say
Alexis Bledel.
Alexis Bledel. She's really, really good. Everybody's really good, and they're redefining the character. So if you've been watching the show.
She's married to Pete Campbell from Mad Men in real life.
Oh, she is?
Yep.
Wow. I hated him so much.
You're supposed to. He was a douche.
Well, I heard he was a douche in real life, too.
Oh, really?
Maybe I hate him more.
I didn't know that. I half watched Big Little Lies. Not into it. Not into it at all.
And last week's was better, but I'm still watching it, but it's like homework. It feels like.
It is.
It feels
That's
like
how The Walking Dead felt for a long time.
Yeah, well, thankfully, I'm not watching that anymore.
I watched Legion.
How was it? Confusing as fuck?
Yeah. What I've decided is I'm not going to give a shit at all about what's going on. I'm just going to look at it.
Yeah.
And like if I happened to go to Edna's Edibles beforehand.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Okay.
But it's so fucking visually stunning to watch that it's worth watching just for that.
I think once it's done, I'm going to binge all of them. I'm going to watch the first one again.
But I literally have no clue what's going on. I'm going to have to listen to.
Well, you're going to have to listen to
the Mike TV episode where they talk about it.
It's going to be a little delayed this week because Lisa doesn't have a voice.
Really? TV. She lost her voice.
Yeah, so they're going to.
Is she coming in clear?
So they're going to have. She and Rockdale Tiger are gonna record an episode this weekend, and then after every episode, subsequently they will have it done. I just really haven't been watching. I've been listening.
Baskets is back.
I never watched Baskets.
Oh, you didn't ever watch Baskets?
Oh, it's your first season.
You're fired.
I know. Sorry, you're fired.
Did you guys watch Fosse Verdon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just watched
the
finale.
I wanted to watch it.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was really good. I cried.
Yeah, it's such a. They're both really good actors in Fosse Verdon.
Yeah, Michelle Williams is amazing.
Yeah.
Especially when you go back and look at videos of Verdon. What's her name? Her first name?
Gwen Verdon. I was just going to say that. What this show has done has interested me enough to go back and on YouTube, and you can find it in the choreography and the acting. It's a really good show.
Yeah, it is really
good. Sam Rockwell's good.
I love Sam Rockwell.
I do too. What's her name? Aya Cash, who's on You're the Worst. She's really good. You got Nate Cordry. Paul Reiser is good in it. Evan Handler. It's a good
cast.
I'm
going to watch it.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. Even if you don't know anything and you're like, I don't like musicals and dancing. I don't watch this guy. You know, if you're like, oh, you know, it's just gay stuff. No, this guy was slaying tail from here to Mars.
Well, and then what I realized, too, going back and looking at actual real footage and real interview, whatever, Bob Fosse, he must have had some rap. Because
he ain't that handsome.
He is not good-looking
no.
at all.
But he was a choreographer and rich. And,
right, I guess.
And an Oscar winner. I've never fully...
Huge hog, too.
Yeah, did he have a huge hog?
I don't know.
I always think that. Yeah, guy's got a big dick. He's confident. That's why I never went anywhere in life.
Or he's got a little one.
Yeah.
He has to be confident.
I got the BDE. Got
to dance. Steph put a couple things down here. The Rook with Emma Greenwell, Jolie Richardson, Olivia Munn, Adrian Lester, and James Darcy.
That's my staff pick.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
Stan Darcy.
She's also watching Get Shorty Season 2. I haven't made it to Season 2 yet, but I'm going to. She said she fast-forwarded through A Star Is Born.
That's what I hear.
Did you guys watch the Adam Sandler murder mystery?
Yep.
What'd you think?
That was pretty good.
So where is that?
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's called Murder Mystery.
Yeah, it's a classic caper film. Mm-hmm. He's a cop. He keeps lying to his wife, saying he made detective. I mean, somebody wrote this in 10 minutes. And Jennifer Aniston plays his wife. They go to France because he always promised her he'd take her to France. And they get involved with some rich dude, and it's kind of like Clue.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Clue element to it, but it's an Adam Sandler movie, and there's lots of funny shit in it. And it came out of nowhere. I didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. And the thing I like most is that my wife picked it, and she said, do you want to watch this Adam Sandler movie? And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
And
I never loved you more.
And I love Jennifer Aniston in a comedy. She has great comedic timing. She's a fantastic actress. So if you haven't seen this... check it out. And
it's funny that you say it's in France, because I always think that Adam Sandler just creates movies because he wants to go on a vacation.
That's what I said when I watched the movie.
And
it looks like they did that. Like, he was like,
yeah,
that's how he got Jennifer.
I want to bring all my friends.
He did like, bring he brought his family with him.
Yeah.
Because I read it. She has to kiss him, and she said the only way I would kiss him is if he started using beard oil.
Right.
So she got him using beard oil. It's called... Yeah, seriously. And his wife encouraged it.
Mm-hmm.
Murder Mystery is the name of the film, and it is on...
Netflix.
Oh, God. And there's another element to it. If you're into the QAnon conspiracy, they found all sorts of weird things. I'm not going to give it credence, but you can Google it and find out. Speaking of Adam Sandler, Jeff and I are going to see him tomorrow night. Where is it? At the Fox?
Chastain.
Chastain. Ooh, an outdoor show.
Yeah.
Hope it doesn't rain.
It's not supposed to. It's not supposed to rain tomorrow or Saturday.
What's the show like? I haven't seen anything, so.
I don't know.
No, I mean,
imagine it's going to be.
He has his friends with him, right? Who does he have with him?
Well, it's Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
That's probably
that other guy from Grandma's Boy, maybe?
No, I don't know. His family.
And then that other guy.
Dante, bro.
His family came out at the last show he did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his whole family came out.
I'm kind of glad I didn't watch that special.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if how much of that special we're going
to
see.
Oh, it probably is that.
Yeah, so I get to see
it. Does he do
the
classics in that show?
Does he do the classics?
Yeah, I'd love to see him do Tollbooth Willie or something like that.
Oh, God.
I'm coming out of the booth.
Yeah, what is that line that you texted me, you piece of repeating shit?
I already heard that one today, you piece of repeating shit.
Hey, we just had somebody
I cut up some cantaloupe.
Yeah, there you go.
That
Rub
one.
Your cock and balls for mama.
Yeah.
No.
Mom.
They're all going to laugh at you.
I used to know all of that. I used to know that word for word.
You've got some balls and some cock.
Yeah, you've got some balls.
You should be stroking
cock.
It. And the goat. Hey, boys, you're throwing the
That's
football.
That's so weird. What a weird time that was. That was like right before the internet.
Yeah.
And it was still when like someone would buy a tape and listen to that.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like we were listening to stuff on our Walkmans.
I had the
Walkmans still.
And then I would make, you know, my own comedy tapes. And like you said, I'd go walking and listening and laughing like an idiot in public.
Right. It's just that. If you think about that time, it seems almost like using a rotary phone.
It does.
You know, thinking back to that time.
Hey, we just had a special guest walk into the room. Are you in a break or are you finished?
It's 8 o'clock.
I'm wrapped for the evening, so I'm just popping in. Yeah.
Hey, it's Alan Sanders, one of the co-hosts of The Wilder Ride, a minute-by-minute look at the films of Gene Wilder.
Well, hello, Miss Autumn Fisher.
Hello, darling.
Hey, it's so good to have you in my ears again.
Lovely.
So you guys are all wrapped now.
No, wraps on July 4th.
July 4th. Almost we scheduled a nationwide celebration for it. Okay. We're going to have fireworks in every city.
It's my favorite podcast. I can't wait. I hate Gene Wilder, but I really like Alan Sanders.
You know, we never had you do a single voice. We just had you tell your stories.
Yeah, I don't need to do that all the time. Yeah, it's fun.
I love it.
You got to nail that Gene Wilder impression for the next time you're on.
Well, yeah, any speculation, that's what we want to know. Can you tease us a little bit? Have you figured out what you're going to do in the next season?
We know exactly what we're doing for season 3.
You know, but you're not going to let it
100%
out.
100% I know. It will be a buddy team up of him and Richard Pryor.
Okay. Nice. So you have four
possible options.
All right. Yeah. And I know two of them.
See no evil, hear no evil.
One, you can pretty much eliminate the fourth.
Another
one.
You.
Another you can more than likely eliminate.
So that leaves two.
No, that's the one that I would eliminate. The hear no evil, see no evil, I think is good.
Okay.
Stir Crazy, I love.
I want to do the minute of Joan Severance's nude scene.
Yeah,
I gotta be careful with you. And
you
Silver Streak, the first pairing of those guys.
I love Silver Streak.
One of those three.
Okay.
But my only hint would be if you're familiar with the main plot device of Blazing Saddles, you may have a similar plot device being used to drive the story in the next one we're doing.
Race. No? Or
maybe where Choo-Choo goes.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. There we go.
Is that a big enough hint?
That is. Well, we wanted to thank you.
Was that like the boulder that just came crashing in the show?
If you haven't checked out The Wilder Ride, give us a quick synopsis of what The Wilder Ride is.
Yeah, it's a niche podcast where we like to break down a movie. We break it down 1 minute at a time. That doesn't mean the episodes are 1 minute. It just means we look at 1 minute of the movie for an episode, and we just break it down. Who's in it, what's going on, if it leads to some side discussions. The thing with Blazing Saddles is it's led to so much social commentary and additional conversation.
Right.
And telling us stories about when they first saw it, when they saw it again, when they realized, I catch the double meanings now.
Mm-hmm.
It made for some great conversation. So it's kind of a device, movie 1 minute at a time, but it's allowing us to have conversations with people, and a lot of times they all love the same movies, they love the same actors, and so it's a chance for us to just chat and talk, put out a podcast, and we can time our seasons. It comes out Monday through Friday when we're doing our seasons, so like the first week we released minute 1 through 5, and then 6 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did Young Frankenstein in season 1, you guys were on it, and then we did, we're in the midst of wrapping up Blazing Saddles, you guys were on it, Autumn also joining us for a couple of minutes. It was so much fun. We had such a good time. You
we
guys
were
fantastic.
Yeah. We love going up
really
there.
And you had some really good guests on too, the Burton
Gilliam.
Nick Gilliam.
We're going to be releasing his whole 2-hour interview.
Oh, we were talking about that last week.
Yeah, post finishing up the show, we're going to release the whole 2 hours because we've been peppering it where it makes sense, but 2 hours of Burton Gilliam. We had
Harvey
Chris Corman's
son.
Chris Corman. Chris Corman. That was fantastic. That was to hear him.
What was Autumn's minute again, Autumn?
She did the dancing
bit at the French end.
Doing the French mistake.
Dom DeLuise.
Yes. Yeah, she dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had to do a couple edits.
Shocking.
I didn't realize that I wasn't allowed to do it.
Everybody did whatever they did. I edited to make it a more wide-ranging podcast.
I'm sorry.
No, you were fine.
You hear like a spit hitting the spittoon. Ba-ding!
Yeah, you hear a shovel hit, a thump, you hear a gunshot, whatever. But I know you guys got to get back to your show. I was just finishing up in the other room, but if people want to check it out, our website's easy. It's thewilderride.com. We got lucky when we branded the show. That name existed at that format everywhere. So YouTube,
awesome.
The Wilder Ride. Twitter, The Wilder Ride.
That's great.
Everything is The Wilder Ride. So there's no underscores, dashes, misspellings, shortening. It's all The Wilder Ride.
Great. So, thanks, Alan.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Say hi to Walt.
Yeah, I will. I will say hi to Walt. Notice how much better it is? Walt's not here.
No.
So, thanks,
Alan.
Guys.
Take care. What else is new? Jeff, you sent me this story. MGM is adapting Rodney Dangerfield's Back to School as an unscripted series. So tell me, what is this? Have you read the story?
His wife has something to do with it. So
Rodney's wife?
Yeah.
Now let's hear your Rodney impression. Can you do one?
Who, me?
No, I want all three of us to do it. So Jeff, you go first.
I tell you, I get no respect at all.
Oh, that's really good.
Autumn?
can't even
fuck
start
me.
It.
Fuck you.
It's Mark right. Burnett, the dude that does Survivor. So it seems like whatever they come up with will probably be worth watching.
But Triple Indy.
It's like real adults going to college with their kids.
I'm going back to school.
Yeah, but yeah, they
don't get mad.
They got Joan Dangerfield to be part of it, so
that's cool. So it's unscripted reality show.
Yeah,
doesn't look like the person who wrote the story is very excited about it. Another story: Louis C.K. is out of TMZ jail. Is that
out
what you're
of Me Too jail.
Oh well, guess what? He did this yeah, comedy festival, but the venue got a lot of shit from the woke.
Right, and a lot of people were really pissed off. Like I saw a bunch of Instagram stories.
Yeah.
That showed like. When TMZ showed him getting the standing ovation, people were like, no, 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 don't let that guy work. Like, how long is he going to be in jail for?
Well.
Unclear.
The dude, he didn't do, like,
he
Harvey
asked.
Weinstein shit.
Yeah.
He didn't force people.
On some level, he did.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying, Jeff, but on some level, he did.
But, like, how long? Does
no,
this
I totally
not
agree.
Get
he
to
should
make
not...
any money and stuff.
Yes, I think it's crazy, especially the amount of contrition that he showed.
Right.
And saying sorry. I mean, it came up in our own family. I mean, there are people in our family that have done horrible things, but they've gotten their life together and they've fixed it. And it's like, are you supposed to vilify them forever? Are they never allowed to change?
Yeah,
of course they are. They're allowed to change. You're allowed to love them more, you know. So or again, and I right. feel like he's allowed I feel like people are allowed to not forgive him. That's totally fine, but they can't then tell people who do forgive him that they're wrong for doing that.
No, they can't, but they will. And
they will. Yeah.
And it's annoying. Ron Funches was upset by it.
Was he?
Yeah.
I love Ron Funches.
I do too.
He was upset by what?
He was outraged.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that he was upset that he was
Oh, it says in the story he was mad about the Parkland shooting jokes. But if you pay attention to those jokes, they're a little different.
Hey, does Gail King have her children on the show?
I heard your kid in the background. That's what Eric always says.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, shut up. I don't care.
I can't help it. It's the time of day. If we were doing this at 2 o'clock, it'd be totally
But
fine.
Like the audience care. Legitimately gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah. Like,
so it seems like people are ready to forgive him.
I'm
we
fine.
Went to the Comedy Cellar when we were in New York and I was hoping I would see him, but
who'd you see? Anybody?
Chris Rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just walked in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did a set that wasn't funny?
It was, yeah, it was not funny.
Uh-huh.
He like walked out. He's like, okay.
What's going on?
He said, what do I care about? What do I think? And then he looked at the price of what it is to be there or whatever. He was like, $24. You're not getting a show like that. You know, that's some bullshit. You're getting the $25 Chris Rock. You're not getting the Netflix, Chris Rock. I was like, okay. And then he just like got out his phone and he was looking through it. And he was like he did have a little bit of a premise, but this was like 15 minutes later of him like hemming and hawing and talking to people. And he talked about like how he's all for the Me Too movement, but you guys have to realize that there are also still hoes. And he read a text exchange that he had between someone who was a hoe. And was like saying like she wanted him to come have sex with her and to do all this stuff to her, and then was like shaming him for not wanting to, and he's saying like I don't do any of that stuff because of the Me Too movement, but you guys have to understand that these people are still hoes, and there are hoes out there, like not everyone is this virtuous, you know, whatever. So yeah, he had something, but it wasn't much. And then Lenny Kravitz's daughter was there with
him. Which one?
I don't know. I thought it was Lisa Bonet.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz is her name.
Yeah, from Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
Yes, that was her. She was there.
By herself?
Well, she was with the, I think she was watching the show. Like maybe she was there to watch Chris Rock.
Oh, okay.
Like I think they were together. But yeah, the other comedians were so, we went to the late show, we went to the 12:15 show, which okay. I think is the one you're supposed to go to if you want to
see a famous comic come in and do
it. Yeah,
but
it was cool. They make you put your phone away.
Good.
Like in a bag. That you sit on the table with you and people check on you and everything. And they also say that if anybody comes in and you're offended and you want to leave, you can do so quietly and your bill will be covered.
Oh, God.
So I think that's pretty cool.
I think that's bullshit. If you're offended, well, leave. And you're not getting your money back, loser.
Well,
I didn't like a joke. Speaking of being offended by comedians, Roseanne Barr and Andrew Dice Clay have announced the Mr. and Mrs. America comedy tour.
Thank you, Doc. Okay. Righty now. I'm always glad on a Friday night when we have somebody new who does comedy, because Friday night audiences are good for comedians. She's a housewife from Denver, Colorado, who started appearing at a local nightclub called The Comedy Works in Denver about 3 or 4 years ago. And she moved out here to Hollywood, where she's been working at the Comedy Store. And this is her very first appearance on national television. Would you welcome Roseanne Barr? Roseanne?
For 13 years, and let me tell you, it's a thrill to be out of the house. I never get out of the house. I stay home all the time. I never do anything fun because I'm a housewife. I hate that word, housewife. I prefer to be called domestic goddess. I feel it's more descriptive. And you know what I do all day? Yeah, you're right. I lay there on that couch eating those bonbons, watching those soap operas, and tuning into that Donahue show. There's a show you could really learn something from. I didn't even know it was possible to be a woman trapped in a man's body. Well, you live, you learn, I guess. I live in the suburbs. I got a real nice two-car garage with a house attached. It's just the best. I have a second career. I sell Stubby K Cosmetics. So you guys like impressions? Yeah. Oh, good, because I do them. Okay, I'd like to give you my impression of Miss Barbara Streisand. Well, I think she is very talented and seems like a nice person.
What can I tell you? Everybody's got an idol. Mine's me, so fuck you. I get up 3-4 hours early just to spend more time with myself, you know? I got a mirror above my bed, right next to the applause sign. I could have got a job on a farm, but the sheep wouldn't leave me alone. You see what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, I was out in L.A. I went to Disneyland. By accident, I walked into the House of Mirrors. I thought I died and went to heaven. It's unbelievable, you know what I'm saying? Philly's a tough town, though, I'm telling you. Now, I like Philly. I love the East Coast attitude. But I'm coming down here tonight, and this cop pulls me over. He pulls me over. That was his first mistake. And he goes, you know, I clocked you at 60. I go, well, asshole, I would have hit 90, but you stopped me. I don't like cops, you know? Cops get on my nerves, you know? The guy turns around to me. He goes, you drunk? I go, yeah, I'm horny too. Want to blow me? He goes, that's it. He goes, that's it. Get out of the car and tell me the alphabet. I go, A to Z. Backwards Z to A. Now, can I go?
And I hope it comes here because I'll go see it.
Would you?
They haven't announced a bunch of dates yet, but I'm hoping it does come here.
Oh, hell yeah.
You think it's going to fall apart?
No. I think it'll do very well. They'll get the MAGA crowd who never liked Roseanne before but like her now for some reason. They'll go see it. And then you'll have, you know, we saw Dice do a sold-out show at the Punchline. Yep. So if you get both of them together, they could fill a venue like the Tabernacle, I think.
Oh, yeah, Tabernacle, they could tell.
I don't think they could do the Fox, but I think they could do Tabernacle. Yeah. And she's a really good stand-up comedian. She always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And he, if you get what he's doing, is a good stand-up comedian.
He just does the Dice character, like, ironically now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows that it's all a gag.
I liked it when he was in Pretty in Pink and he was moving that cigarette all around.
Yeah.
He was in A Star Is Born.
He was
Lady Gaga's dad.
Yeah.
Should I see that movie?
Well, Stephanie said she fast-forwarded through it.
Yeah, I hear it's not.
I watched the whole thing because it came on HBO.
Was it good?
It was all right. It wasn't as good as... I liked the Barbara Streisand one.
I do, too. The Oreos.
All right.
I watched there's a really, I should look this up and maybe I'll tell you the thing, but there's a sort of movie, film historian woman on YouTube that does these little like 5 minute videos of different stars yesterday and today, and mm-hmm. also movies and things. And one of them was all the variations of A Star Is Born.
Oh, really? Even
yeah,
the Judy
it was
Garland
really
one?
Interesting. Yeah, like, and she it was really interesting because she talked about how they changed over the years and how, like, when the women's movement was coming up in the 70s, and how Barbara Streisand's character differed from Liza Minnelli's mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, her character, even though they're the same character, but they were portrayed differently and written differently and acted differently. It was just really cool. So I'll look for that and tell you what that
is. The one thing that was kind of neat to watch in the new one was how Bradley Cooper was doing the Sam Elliott impersonation the entire movie. Because he was supposed to be brothers with Sam Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's one of those actor types. So he thought they should sound alike.
Yeah.
So he like did a bunch of vocal, vocal training, so he could sound like him. So he does sound a lot like Sam Elliott throughout the whole movie.
Sometimes you eat the bar, sometimes the bar eats you.
I didn't understand that for a long time.
Is that some sort of Eastern thing?
Far
from it, dude.
But I was like, bar?
Bear.
Yeah. I know. But at first, when I first was into that movie, I was like, what? Who eats a bar?
You know, the first time I saw that movie was the weekend it came out. I had a date. I don't remember her name.
Was it Luke Dogwalker?
No, Luke Dogwalker was later. This was some Montessori teacher that I knew. Anyway, we went to see the movie, and I wasn't high. And I liked it, but I'm like, I don't kind of get it. And then
you went to Edna's Edibles?
No. Then it came out on HBO or whatever. No, I rented it on VHS. I went to a store and I rented it and I brought it home and put it in the VCR. And I was sort of high on life. And I got it. Okay, I get it. And
What year did it come out?
1997.
Okay, so.
Or 98, one of those two.
So I was I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing the previews for it and wanting to see it. Like, what is this weird thing? I want it. And then it just disappeared. And then as I got, I guess, older and it was easily accessible, I started to get into it and I really liked it then.
Yeah, everything.
I didn't get high. I didn't get high and watch it. You didn't need to. It was still so good.
I know you didn't.
Hey, so that thing I was talking about is called Be Kind Rewind. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
And they're not even huge. They have like 68,000 subscribers. They don't have like millions. They just make really cool things. Ginger Rogers and Katherine Hepburn.
Oh, instead of TV, I forgot to tell you guys. Thank you, Autumn. Instead of TV, I just started the fifth Game of Thrones audiobook.
No, no.
What do you mean, oh, no? That's a lot of, every one of those books is 40 hours. So four times 160 some hours. Wow. This is the last one, and now I'm going to be like everyone else waiting for the final book to come out.
Yeah, all of us waiting for the...
For the what?
For the, what's the name of the Kingkiller?
Oh, Jamie?
The third book in the Kingkiller.
Mr. Mercedes?
No.
What is happening?
I don't know. I think Jeff Stone.
He's coasting to us.
The Kingkiller Chronicle by... Patrick Rothfuss.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
There's supposed to be three books, but it's been 8 years since the last book came out, and the third book hasn't come out.
Cool.
It's a lot of people are in the same boat as the George R. R. Martin people waiting for that last book.
I'm in the same boat with a lot of my friends waiting for the day my ship will come in. You know, the tide's going to turn and it'll all roll my way.
No.
Anybody know what that was?
No, but I like that you're doing something.
9 to 5. In the same boat with a lot of
your
friends.
They're making a new one.
Fuck that.
Ugh, I'm sure it's going to have like Kristen Wiig.
Yeah. I got to go down there at my Paris.
No, it's got the original cast.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, no. It does.
Baloney.
Everybody.
They're all old. They'd be all retired.
They're all getting back together.
Even Dabney Coleman.
Come on, Dabney. Where
Coleman's
is he?
Doing it or not.
Is he dead?
No, he's not dead.
Still alive. What's he been doing?
He was on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, he was on
Boardwalk. What's he doing?
He's an actor. He was on Boardwalk Empire.
Why is he gone?
What do you mean, why is he
gone? Well, he's barely around.
Well, he can't do
he's old
like, spy movies.
Yeah. Oh, he's so old. He looks like John Cleese.
He does.
Yeah, a little.
A little bit.
All right.
God, he was in everything. Man, that young Dabney Coleman. Wow.
All right, guys. I want you guys to enjoy this interview as much as Jeff and I did doing it. It's Jerry Jewell, and she's great. Hey, guys. Here's another one of Radio Labyrinth's awesome sponsors, Bailey Tree Care LLC in Gainesville, Georgia. You can contact Nick Bailey at 770-530-9421 or Jason Chappell at 404-234-2599. Bailey Tree Care. They are Northeast Georgia's premier choice for high-quality tree care services at affordable prices. Their tree care experts bring an excellent safety record and over 10 years of experience in the industry. Bailey Tree Care specializes in residential products and offers free estimates for all your tree service needs. Residential tree care, certified arborists and tree climber, tree trimming and pruning, tree removal, stump grinding and removal, shrub trimming, pruning, underbrush clearing, and mulch and firewood sale. Safety, professionalism, and affordability. Call them today to discuss your tree care need. That's Bailey Tree Care, LLC. Hey, tonight's guest on Radio Labyrinth is actress Jerry Jewell. Jerry Jewell, if you're not familiar, was one of the stars of HBO's hit series and now film, Deadwood. She played Jewel, right?
Yep.
And she was the, you know, she cleaned up the inn, the gem. She cleaned up the gem, and there was a lot of great dialogue with her throughout the seasons. And, in fact, she's in, I guess, the most tender scene in the entire film that came out a couple weeks ago. And Jerry, you'll remember if you're old enough and you watched TV, debuted on television with a series called The Facts of Life. You remember that show, don't you, Jeff?
Why do you yell it?
I don't know. I like yelling. The Facts of Life. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have The Facts of Life. The Facts of Life. She played a...
You're not doing a very good Charlotte Ray impersonation.
I don't do a Charlotte Ray impersonation.
Come on, Peter Griffin.
Girls! Who are you? That's in the clip. She started on that show, and she played Blair's cousin, and there were a lot of good episodes with her, you know, being involved with Blair and Blair's family. And in fact, the first scene where she introduces herself to the girls, Mindy Cohn laughs at one of the jokes she tells, and Tootie can't figure out whether she should laugh or not, and then Jerry gives her the A-OK. She also has a memoir that recently came out called I'm Walking as Straight as I Can. In case you didn't know, Jerry has cerebral palsy, but she does not suffer from it because she lives a very positive and happy life. She's also from Buffalo, so you know I'm going to ask her if she's a Bills fan.
Nope. She hates the Bills.
She doesn't hate the Bills.
Yeah, she said that after that third Super Bowl loss, she was done with the Bills.
I was done with them never, so she can't be ever. She's been at the White House twice. She was a presenter, not a presenter, but she was a keynote speaker during the Reagan administration and also the Obama administration. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, Jerry Jewell.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We love it. I saw that... We both saw the Deadwood movie, and we both waited a long time for it, and we're both happy that it happened. How happy are you?
I'm very happy it happened. I think everybody was just absolutely thrilled that it got pulled off.
We were lucky enough to have your one of your fellow Gem co-workers on the podcast, W. Earl Brown, back before the movie was even announced or anything. He didn't know anything about it back at the time we talked about it, but he said he had seen a script. That was it.
Oh, wow. Kind of always knew it existed. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. I know there were a lot of people that didn't believe it would ever happen, but I knew it would get done. It had to, because in my mind, the season finale of the third season was nothing. It was like, wait. Yeah. It's got to be better than this.
And HBO sort of unceremoniously just ended the show without wrapping it up at all.
Yeah. And, you know, we had several false starts. You know, we were supposed to go into filming two movies in 2006, and then that folded. So everybody got the feeling like, oh, it's never going to happen.
And it had to be harder and harder as the years went on to round up everybody from the cast, because so many of you went on to have
Yes, and truthfully, one of the delays was that Powers Booth died.
Yeah.
And David had written all kinds of wonderful scenes for him. And when he passed, he had to start all over again.
Right.
Because there was no Powers Booth anymore.
His character was so great on that show. It must have been a challenge to rewrite it.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes.
But there is,
and it's brilliantly written.
Oh, I know. Someone told me earlier today when I was talking about you coming on the show that when they shot the pilot or some scenes from the pilot, they used the original, I guess, not profane cuss words. Were you a part of that? And is that true?
When they shot the pilot?
I think they said stuff like tarnation.
Yeah,
and
test
that kind
scenes
of stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And that people were laughing, so they went. He decided to go ahead and just use the regular swear words, our modern ones.
I don't have any memory of that, but I don't remember ever being at a table read. Yeah, we were at a table read. Yes, I do remember that. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Wow. Yeah, you know, it was so long ago, I couldn't tell you if there were cuss words in that table read or not.
Was it hard to learn the dialogue and deliver it effectively, being such proper language, or Shakespearean even?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because, you know, I grew up, Jay Jewell grew up in special ed. Yeah. And I worked very, very hard. Yeah, I had speech therapy twice a week for 15 years to get my speech correct. And I wanted to speak correctly, and I was well read. And that was very important to me, because so many people assumed that because my body is the way it is, that somehow they couldn't separate it from something being developmental. You know, mm-hmm. not being able to speak correctly.
Right.
And so when I read Jewel's dialogue in the beginning, I was like, now this is Jerry Jewell reading it. You know? And I was like, oh, that's such a stupid word for her to say. I don't get it, but okay. And I never complained. It's just, I played the part a certain way based on how I conveyed the language. And about a month later, David comes to the set and he said, Jay, we're going for a ride. Come over here. So I got in his electric cart and we're riding around the lot. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And he said, Jay, why are you playing the role of Jewel as if she's stupid? I said, because she is stupid. And he said, I wrote the role and the dialogue and she's not stupid. Well, how come you didn't write better dialogue?
Speaking of you and Heat, I watched the Archive of American Television interview that you did, which is fascinating, and I urge everyone to go to YouTube and watch it. If you don't mind, just kind of recapping how you were in a drugstore when you ran into
yes.
him. Can you kind of tell that a little
yes.
bit?
But let me finish this.
Oh,
really
okay.
Quick.
I'm sorry.
Because it ends with, he said, Jerry, she is smarter than most in Deadwood. And she was self-educated. She wasn't formally educated in a school. People like her didn't go to school in the 1800s. It has nothing to do with stupidity. It's not being formally educated. And you better start playing that role as if she's intelligent. Do you understand me? Okay, I got it.
And maybe along with that, because she's like one of the few people in camp that doesn't take any of Al's shit.
Right.
It seems
exactly.
like she stands up to Al, and Al just accepts it.
and to Dan and to everybody. Right. I mean, there isn't, yeah. Back in 2002, I had spinal cord surgery in 1999, and I honestly thought, you know, it was from C1 to C7, my whole neck. Mm. And I didn't think that I would ever walk again after that. And in order to deal with chronic pain, I get Botox injections in my neck every 3 months. So 2002, I had no Botox in my body. I was in excruciating pain. I was in so much pain that I couldn't even get dressed properly. So I was wearing my pajama bottoms and a big coat over it. I thought, nobody's going to recognize me. And I went to the pharmacy to pick up the Botox to deliver to the neurologist to inject it in my neck. So I'm standing in line. It's really early in the morning. I'm in pain. I look like shit. And this man in front of me turns around. He says, oh, my God, are you Jerry Jewell? And I was like, oh, God. I didn't even want to admit I was who I was. And I said, yeah, I am. And he said, well, I'm a huge fan of yours. I love you. You've made me laugh. You've inspired me. And I said, well, thank you, sir. He said, but I haven't seen you on TV in a long time. What are you doing with your life now? And I said, Botox. And he laughed and he said, no, seriously. And I said, seriously. He said, you want a television show? I said, what? You heard me. Do you want to do a series? I said, this is a pharmacy, right? He said, yeah, and in case you don't recognize me, my name is David Milch. And my mouth just dropped open. I said, oh, my God, the executive producer of NYPD Blue? He said, yes. And I said, well, Mr. Milch, I'm flattered that you, you know, love me and you want to work with me. And but come on, I would make a real shitty cop. And he said, no, I just signed a contract with HBO. I'm doing a new Western called Deadwood. You want to do a Western? And I looked up as far as my titanium neck would let me. And I said, God, you have a quirky sense of humor. I'm standing here with cerebral palsy, a titanium neck, dependent on Botox, and David Milch here wants me to ride a horse. And he wrote his phone number on the only thing that was available, and it was a prescription pad for an antidepressant. And I was one of the first roles that was cast in Deadwood before anybody else. David gave me that role.
That's awesome.
How did Norman Lear discover you for Facts of Life?
Fern Fields saw me perform at the Comedy Store, and she was impressed. She laughed, and she said, I want you to perform for the second annual Media Access Awards. And I did. And that night, Norman Lear and Charlotte Ray was there that night. They were both sitting at the same table, I found out. Later, I didn't realize it at the time. But after I got done performing, Norman came up to me and he said, Jay, you're really funny, kid, but you're way before your time. And I said, okay, so wait a couple months. I honestly didn't understand what he meant. I was too young. And he did wait 2 months. Actually, he waited 3 months. And 3 months later, I was Blair's cousin on the Facts of Life.
That's awesome. Who were the other comedians you were with when you were at the Comedy Store?
Oh, God. You know, there was Lotus Weinstock, Sandra Bernhardt, Carrie Snow.
Were you there before?
I mean, there were male comedians too. You have to remember that back then, Missy used to make the female comedians perform in the ballet room.
Right.
There were never male comedians performing with her. So they got the main room or the original room, but the ballet room was strictly for females. But there was so many. Jerry Seinfeld was there.
Were you there pre-strike when they had that comedian strike?
The strike happened like 2 months after I started.
Right.
Yeah, they probably started striking because I started doing comedy. Yeah, those were the days. I mean, wow, I didn't realize that I was in such a big part of history in stand-up at that time.
If you go back in time to television of that era, a show like The Facts of Life, which, you know, I guess ostensibly was for girls, but I think given how good it did in the ratings, and a guy like me, 10 years old, I love that show. Now, just as an aside, the first season was weird because it was actually more of in the school, and it had Molly Ringwald, and they had a headmaster. They retooled it.
Yes.
And then it was just Charlotte Ray and you know, the core characters. But when you came on the show, the difference in that era and today is you were just a person on the show, an actress, and who happened to have a disability, but you were funny and bright and you made everybody laugh. And then I saw you do stand-up on television, and I kind of had a crush on you back then.
Oh, thank you.
Your hair was feathered very nicely.
Oh, thank you. Gosh.
But to get to my question, it was, you know, interesting. I don't think about television when I was a kid as I do now. You know, everything now is there's a first, and this is a groundbreaking, and they'll tell you a million times how groundbreaking it is. But what you did was really groundbreaking. And
Without Jerry Jewell, there'd be no Josh Blue.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, maybe, but. To go back into that time, what was the reaction from your family and your friends to see you on TV? And were people like, wow, you're inspirational to me? I guess that was a long way of me asking you if you inspired people.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things about me is that I never really knew what a huge difference I made in the world at that time. I mean, I didn't see it the way everybody saw me. I was just, you know, struggling and trying to pay my rent, trying to figure out who my real friends were, da 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 da. And so I didn't realize my impact until probably the 90s when I started doing colleges. I was doing a lot of college circuits. And students would come up to me and say, oh, my God, you know, you saved my life and Facts of Life. I wanted to commit suicide, and I saw your episode. And you, my God, and so many students came up to me with these stories of how Cousin Jerry helped them in life. And then I realized, wow, I was totally oblivious to my impact.
Yeah, that show was
which actually kept me quite humble.
That show was groundbreaking in a lot of ways, though.
You know, I've been given credit for being the first person with a visible disability ever to be cast in a primetime series. That seems to be, you know, break the glass ceiling. And yes, that is true, but I want to clarify that because I've thought about that many times. And there was Lou Ferrigno, I can never pronounce his name, an Incredible Hulk.
Lou Ferrigno, yeah.
And he's very hearing impaired, worse hearing aid. And there was Peter Gunn on the Wild Wild West, the little person. And those are just a few that I can think of offhand who had disabilities who were working every single week on a series. And I think what set me apart, what made me different, is that I was the first one that was actually defined as having a disability. In other words, you didn't know that Lou was hearing impaired, so it wasn't an issue. And as far as being a little person like Peter Gunn, you know, Hollywood had always repeatedly hired little people, but you never thought of it as being a disability. And I think that's why I was given that title, because you couldn't say that, well, Hollywood hires these people with cerebral palsy all the time, right? He's like us. I was different in that respect, so I opened the doors for the diversity of disability, if that makes any sense.
It does, yeah. Do you what all do you cover in your book, I'm Walking as Straight as I Can?
Oh, I cover everything. Everything under the sun. Have you read the book?
I have not yet. I'm going to have to get it.
Well,
don't hang up.
Well, it was, I started writing it after Deadwood ended, and I realized, because what seemed to have always been a pattern with me, I would do a show, Facts of Life, and Deadwood, 21 Jump Street, or whatever I did, and then I wouldn't work again for 3 or 5 years, or 7 years, or 8 years. So there was always this letdown every time I worked. There was never continuous work. So when Deadwood ended, I thought, okay, here we go again. Okay, what can I do? Well, I'm going to write a book. And I wrote that book because in 1984, I had a book out, which I had very little to do with. It was an autobiography called Jay. I had a dream book tour, booked on every show under the sun, and I had to promote it twice, once with the hardcover and then with the paperback. Mm. And I hated that book. I absolutely hated it. And I felt like one of these days, I'm going to write the real story, and I'm going to write it. So this was something, this was a commitment that I made to myself. And it was quite a journey. In fact, right now, I'm in the process of writing another book. Because the Deadwood movie ended.
Well, you're in a new movie that's coming out.
It's time to write another book.
You're in a movie called Carol of the Bells that's coming out with Donna Mills and Donna Pescow, right?
There's a bunch of people in there.
Yeah. You can tell us about that.
Well, I just have a guest star role, one scene, and my scene is with R.J. Mitty from Breaking Bad, and I play a nun. I know. I play a nun. My character's name is Sister Gloria, and I have my scene with RJ. Cute. It was a fun little scene to do.
He was great.
But the movie is an important story, and it's a beautiful script.
Yeah, it looks
and
really
I've
good.
Always wanted to work with RJ.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
Yes, I did. I thought it was a great show. Yes.
So what are some of your other favorite shows that you watch?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you stick with the Facts of Life all the way to the end? I know I did. And I always wondered if kids today would wonder if Edna's Edibles was a weed dispensary.
That's a good one. I did buy the box set and I caught up with all the episodes. I watched the series and I am a fan of Facts of Life. I thought it was a very well written show. There were other shows. You know what's weird? When I was on Deadwood, you know, you're part of the HBO family, so you did a lot of HBO events. And I remember The Sopranos and flying through New York or Newark, New Jersey, and seeing Sopranos t-shirts and sweatshirts. And I was like, God, I can't believe that we're idolizing the mob.
Right.
I am never going to watch that show with my eyes. Well, then I go to an HBO party and I pulled a raffle ticket and I won every single season of The Sopranos. So I came home and it was a guilty pleasure.
Definitely.
I was like, what? And I couldn't turn it up. I was like, oh my God. I was stunned. And of course, Deadwood. I love Deadwood. 6 Feet Under was another one of my favorites.
Got to support the network that you're on.
Pardon?
You have to support the network that you're on. So
yeah,
you gotta like those other shows.
So she was watching Hello Larry when she was on NBC. Right. Unlike anyone else.
Were there any standout moments from Deadwood that you remember a lot? I know Jules' Boots Were Made for Walking is one of my favorite episodes. I think
thank you.
I think Ricky Jay wrote that or is credited for writing it.
Well, I'll tell you a story that's kind of interesting, and a lot of people don't know this, is that this summer I had spinal cord surgery again in July for my lower back because it got to the point where I couldn't walk anymore. I couldn't walk any more than a few feet or stand for a couple of minutes without going to my hands and knees in chronic pain. I mean, I had epidurals and nerve blocks and everything to try to get it to stop being so painful. And I always knew in the back of my head that this Deadwood movie was going to be done. So I thought, I got to do something. So I called a surgeon and made an appointment with him. And I said, look, I'm going to do a movie soon. You got to make sure that I can walk for that movie. And so I had the surgery. The only reason I had the surgery was because I wanted to be ready to do Deadwood. And what I didn't anticipate, neither did the surgeon, was that my body was not cooperative. And he said that I would be walking my normal by August or the first week of September. Well, it got to be the third week of September, and I was still a wheelchair user, half-time, a walker the other half. I couldn't drive yet. I was in horrendous pain. Because he didn't consider, this is the problem with cerebral palsy. Anytime you have surgery, the CP is not going to cooperate. The recovery time is probably 4 or 5 times longer than someone who doesn't have cerebral palsy. And so I was so frustrated. And the third week of December, I get a script from David Milk. And I'm reading it on the computer, and I'm just bawling. And I thought, there's no way I can do this. I cannot do this. I can't even walk yet.
Right.
So I called production. I said, may I please speak to David Mills? And she said, well, he's not taking any calls. Could I convey a message? And I said, yes. Tell him that Jerry Jewell called and that I had surgery on July 12th. And I'm still a part-time wheelchair user, walker. I can't drive yet. I can't walk very long. I can't stand very long. And so he has my blessings to recast Jewel. And she didn't know what to say. She was so quiet. I said, did you hear me? She said, yes, but are you sure you want me to tell David that? And I said, yes, because I've known him for a lot of years, and he doesn't like surprises, and it's the truth. So I was ready to bow out. I did not think I would be in that movie. And the next day, David called me, and he said, Jerry, I got your message. I said, yes, and there's only one Jewel, and it's you. And I don't care if I have to get you a wheelchair-accessible trailer, if we have to get you a driver, if I have to rewrite the script. you are going to do Jewel. Do you understand that? And I said, yeah, I do.
That's great.
So he actually, he gave me a reason. He believed in me. It was so powerful that, you know, the irony of it is by mid-March, I got my full walking ability back. And I can move normally now. And if you notice in the movie, I'm wearing that leather back brace. Do you remember that thing on my back?
Yeah.
The reason that was written into the script was because the surgeon would not let me out of the back brace. And I was so frustrated. I said, you have to let me out of the back way. I'm filming a movie. And he said, I'm not going to let you out of the back way, because if anything happens to you and you're not wearing the back way, the insurance company won't cover a reparative surgery. I said, oh. So Jeannie, who designed the costumes, made my dress bigger to wear over the back way, but we saw in the mirror that even the dress over the back way, you could see that I was wearing a back brace underneath. So they came up with the idea to wear an 1800s back brace over the dress to hide the real back under the dress. So I tell you, you know, they felt bad about it. They were like, oh, we're so sorry we have to do this to you. And I said, what are you sorry about? Fox made a better brace than the people who made my original brace.
Hey, before we wrap up and let you go, are you still doing stand-up comedy?
Yes, but not like I used to. But like I said, I've gone through a lot of physical stuff. But I have no desire really to go back on the road like I did in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
But yeah, I'll always have that skill, definitely.
And I wanted to ask you if it said in your bio that you're from Buffalo, New York. Did you grow up there? Were you a Bills fan? You ever have beef on Weck?
Well, I didn't grow up in Buffalo. I was born there, and my family left when I was 18 months old.
Oh, okay.
So, but ironically, David Milch is from Buffalo, New York.
Right. I didn't know that. Jeff knows more about it than you. And where can people find you on social media? I was looking to find out when Carol the Bells comes out, but I guess it's doing the circuit.
Yes, we don't know yet exactly. I heard that it's going to be screen. No, what I do know something, but I read it on Facebook. I'll have to go check.
Okay.
But yeah, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me at jerryjewett.com. I'm trying to get the hang of Twitter. Trying to learn Instagram. Okay, I'm a boomer. What do you
expect? My only other question was, who's the better director, Asad Kalada or David Milch?
Oh, that's an unfair question. I ought to smack you for that one.
I'll smack him when we're done.
They're both. Wonderful.
Yeah, they're both great.
Yeah, and David wasn't exactly a director. He wrote the script.
Right.
And Asad was wonderful. He's my buddy. I always loved working with Asad.
Well, Jerry, I want to thank you very much for indulging a couple of huge Deadwood fans. And like I said at the beginning of the interview, you've been in my pop culture consciousness since 1980 when I first saw you on TV. And you know, thank you for the laughs and for sharing some time with us tonight.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And good luck with the movie, and no more surgeries. Stay healthy. And
everybody, buy
the book. Yeah, I'm walking as straight as I can.
Buy the book, which I'm going to do.
All right, you better.
I will. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Ural, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza in Ural is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, Euros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting. Since 1983. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/ATL Pizza. Interact with other diners. Check out the menu and even start your order. Or AtlantaPizzaEuro.com. So you guys, last week I saw, we were going to do the news last week, but it ended up just being Jeff and I talking to Steve Byrne and the amazing Jonathan, which, by the way, was one of the highlights of me doing this show, was getting to talk to those guys, especially the amazing Jonathan.
Man, I'm really looking forward to seeing that next movie. I'm actually getting Hulu.
And one thing I found out, that we didn't really talk about the premise of Steve Byrne's movie that much, which was his relationship between...
Yeah, him and the kid, and Joel Osborne.
We talked about it a little bit with Steve, but not with Jonathan.
Right.
So we didn't get to... So if you missed that one, check it out. And again, thanks to both of those guys. We're going to do news like we've been doing, and we didn't get to it. But the Men in Black movie that came out with was it Tessa Thompson?
Yeah, the
and Thor.
Men in Black International.
Completely bombed.
Yeah.
And it made me think back to 97, and we're doing our summer movie. So we'll do summer of 97 films, and we'll kick it off with Men in Black, directed
by... Can I say something really quick?
You go ahead, please.
I saw it was like a picture someone posted about saying, like, what is it, 19? Is it the 90s?
Yeah.
Because it was Aladdin, Men in Black, Child's Play,
yes.
Toy Story.
Oh, that was, yeah, that's that meme going around. It's on a theater marquee.
Yeah. It was so right on.
But the Men in Black, I'm not going to see it, of course, because I don't care.
I'll see it when it comes on HBO.
I might give it a try, but you can't beat the first. The first one is the best. Barry Sonnenfeld directed it. Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones, Rip Torn, who is fucking fantastic.
God, I love Rip Torn.
Basically playing his character from Larry Sanders in the movie. Linda Fiorentino, when she was a thing. And Vincent D'Onofrio, who, you know, was the guy, the farmer.
Sugar water. Yeah. Yes. Sugar. Put it in water.
But it, you know,
a bug.
Yes.
Kind of bug.
It didn't take itself seriously. It was fun. And, you know, Will Smith is... He was in a lot of those action movies in the late 90s, early 2000s that were actually really good.
Independence Day.
He was good. I mean, that movie isn't that great.
No.
But it's fun.
And, it is fun.
And he is really good in it. So, the sequel to Men in Black was kind of dumb, the second one. But definitely, I think, as far as summer films go from 97, Men in Black is at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The Lost World, directed by Steven Spielberg with Jeff Goldblum, Julianne Moore, Vince Vaughn, Richard Attenborough. Was the direct sequel to Jurassic Park, and not very good.
Yeah. Were they in L.A.?
No, they go back to San Diego, don't they?
San Diego.
And the dinosaur jumps out. But
yes.
It's Goldblum, and he's with his daughter, and I don't know why he's there, but Julianne Moore and Vince Vaughn are there, and it's like the movies now, the Jurassic Park movies. They take the two hottest actor and actress and throw them in the film, like they do now with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. Mm-hmm. And those movies are fucking shit. I mean,
you have to go in and know that they're dumb and just enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, they're likable actors, but they're just garbage.
It's like having sex with someone you're not that into.
I don't care about that. The Lost World, though, you know, I like the dinosaur films, and Jurassic Park was such a good movie. The Lost World just wasn't good.
They need to make a good Land of the Lost movie.
Yeah, that'll never happen. Ugh. That last one. Thanks, Will Ferrell.
Get off my plane.
Let's see. We got Air Force One, which...
Get off of my plane.
Yeah. I hated that movie.
I did too.
So much.
I hated it.
Get off of my plane.
It was stupid. Gary Oldman playing some Russian or Eastern European.
I love Gary Oldman.
I do too. I love everybody in it. Glenn Close, William H. Macy, directed by Wolfgang Peterson. Good lineup, but it was just a Harris... I'll be in this movie.
Yeah.
I'll be Jack Ryan, but you
and
that
so
won't be my
dumb,
name.
Like a president could ever do any of those things.
Right.
Believe and he was getting kind of long in the tooth to be doing those things.
I could fight anybody that took over my plane, okay?
That's right. You're in really good shape.
I am. I'm in gorgeous shape. Look at me sideways, how fat I am.
Gorgeous shape.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm tired.
I love that. Gorgeous. I feel like he might say that.
I am very, very, remember that for very gorgeous.
Let's see. So that movie wasn't very good. Face Off. Now this movie, directed by John Woo, who is a great director. It had John Travolta, it had Nicolas Cage, and it had Linda Hamm. I mean, Joan Allen.
Linda Hamm, does your name ever make you hungry? Makes me hungry.
When are we going to get over to Mars?
Harry, we're working at... No, I meant you and me. We could make an evening of it. We'll bring my dude buggy and my sandwich Linda and make sloppy Martian love.
You know what kind of sandwich she is?
I don't know, Hamm.
I guess, I don't know.
Joan Allen was ubiquitous in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. You don't see her much anymore. She was on an ABC series that got canceled.
She's with Dabney Coleman.
Yep. Now, this is a polarizing film. People either like it or hate it. There's no in between, and there are people that like it. I'm in the hate it category.
Yep.
We saw that in the theater.
Yep.
Autumn, did you see it?
You didn't say what it was.
Oh, yeah, I did. Face Off.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the next one.
No. Face Off.
Oh, yes. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
And I was laughing most of it.
Yeah, how dumb it is, right?
How so dumb it is. And how many different, it's like one fight scene that would go on for 30 minutes and in all different kinds of locations. It was like, we're fighting in an airplane hangar. Now we're fighting on the tarmac. And now we're fighting on a baggage carousel. And now we're fighting. I mean, it was just every scene. We're on the boat. We're in the water. We're on top of the boat. We're under the boat. We're on the side of the boat. Get out of here. And then if you go back, I was just watching something. Oh, I was watching a surgeon talk about surgeries and hospital things in different movies and TV shows.
Right.
And one of them was when they were taking off their face in Face Off. Right. And it was just this like cauterizing, hot laser thing. And she was like, that'd be really dangerous and bad for your skin. Like it would, burn the residue of the outside of it. And then, so they just like made an outline of their face and then just like used a suction cup mask to take it off. Like that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Your skin is not being held together by anything.
And meanwhile, now they actually do these surgeries and you see what the people look like.
Yeah.
I guess you
Elephant
look,
man.
Yeah, you look better than you did, though.
I am not an animal.
The next movie, directed by Joel Schumacher, was a huge letdown. Everybody, chill.
Ugh.
Batman and Robin with Arnold Schwarzenegger, George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, and Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman looking cool and saying like sneaky sounding lines.
She's Poison Ivy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was Mr. Freeze or whatever. And the nipples on the unit, it just wasn't good.
Oh, George Clooney. He was just like, you guys, I'm Batman.
Hey, you guys, I'm Batman. I'm the famous guy.
Guys, can you believe it? I'm Batman. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Like Val Kilmer and
was good.
He was good. Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, yeah.
They were like, I'm Batman, and you believed it.
Yeah.
George Clooney's like, gosh.
I'm sexy.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? I'm Batman.
Hey, we're going to meet Val Kilmer in a couple weeks. He's going to be at Atlanta Comic Con, right?
Yep.
Charging $80 for a autograph.
What?
And another $80 for a picture. But he's the most famous person there. I'm going to meet Ginny.
Ginny Weasley.
Ginny Weasley, yeah.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, I'm going to look Harry Potter. Shut up.
Adam Baldwin's going to be there, too. Maybe he'd call me a loser again.
Why did he call you a loser?
Because, he's real right-wing.
What did you do, argue with him on Twitter? And he called you a loser?
I told him I was, because my mom was at the Democratic Convention in Charlotte that year.
Uh-huh.
That he finally showed up to Dragon Con.
When was that, 2012?
Yeah, I guess. And I said I was going up there to visit her, and he's like, why are you going to Charlotte? I'm like, go to the Democratic Convention. He goes, oh, the world needs losers, too.
he's pretty vocally conservative on Twitter.
He's a great actor, though.
He is.
I've fucking loved him in everything he's ever been in.
Yep.
Going all the way back to My Bodyguard.
Right. All right, the next movie. 97, man, just not great. Contact, directed by Robert Zemeckis with Jodie Foster.
Contact.
We saw that in the theater.
I know we did. You hated it.
Yep.
Here's how ridiculous it is. Okay, Matthew McConaughey plays this sexy priest. He likes to have sex with Jodie Foster. They met in the jungle and had prayed. Now he becomes some religious advisor to the President of the United States, who, by the way, was Bill Clinton. And this is one of those movies that used actual presidential clips, and then they paid Wolf Blitzer to talk about it. I hate it when they do that.
Oh, I like it. Like in Dave, it reminds me of Dave.
Yeah, but it's if you're a journalist who does it, you immediately lose credibility. James Woods playing a snarky. This was the era when James Woods played like a government guy, like a dick. He was like a snarky chief of staff douchebag.
Right.
Did you see they renamed the high school on Family Guy to Adam West High School?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, I can handle that. Otherwise, I would have just been pissed. No one like James Woods anymore.
Oh, yeah.
John Hurt, fantastic in this. He's great in it. Tom Skerritt, another guy, plays, you know, just a, you know, just a process guy. And Angela Bassett, for some reason, I think they say we need to have an African-American in the movie. So let's get Angela Bassett. She's hot now. Really interesting film, premise-wise.
I like thinking about this movie, but I don't want to watch it.
I've seen it more than once just because I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
Not very good.
No.
But Matthew McConaughey when he was young.
I'm not saying it was Aliens, but it was
Aliens. So here's another movie from that summer that I disliked, Con Air.
Con Air is not that bad a movie.
All right, that's another one that people really, really dig. It's Steve Buscemi, John Cusack, John Malkovich, and Nicolas
Everybody
Cage.
Everybody looked like they were having so much fun in that movie.
Yeah.
In the making of that movie.
Maybe I need to watch it again. Have you seen it, Autumn?
I haven't. I'm sad that I haven't seen it. Is that the one where he's like, Nicolas Cage is looking in the distance and there's like wind blowing in his hair?
Yeah. He's got that long hair.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
I know that, but I've never seen the movie.
It's fun just to go back 20 years, whatever.
But they're chomping all the scenery. People. All these guys are. What was that movie? The Untouchables? No. What was the name of that movie with Stallone and Schwarzenegger and all those guys?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
about. It's kind of like that where it got this fucking dream team of these actors and they're just chewing the scenery up. It's not that bad a movie.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
Those movies are good.
Yeah.
I mean, and they are what they are. I got to revisit Con Air because I know a lot of people that like it.
You should.
Here's one that I really, really fucking love and I watch to this day.
Yeah, I still watch this too.
The Fifth Element, directed by Luc Besson.
So great. Lilo Dallas Multipass.
Yeah. Lilo Dallas Multipass. Mila Jovovich. Multipass. Yeah. Chris Tucker doing that awesome character. Yeah. Ian Holm.
Come on, show. Come on, show.
Yeah. Ian Holm playing the monk. Gary Oldman playing that wackadoo character with the. Yeah. And I think all those
with that weird like the hat, tar the plastic comes out hat. Of his head.
Yeah, and he's doing a southern accent in space. And Bruce Willis. I mean,
the stones. I want the stones.
Yes,
that movie just came out of nowhere, though. I had not heard anything about it.
And
that blue lady singing that song.
Yeah, the diva.
Yes.
What
is it? Champagne for the diva.
Yes.
There was supposed to be some shit about that song was not able to be performed by a human, but some lady ended up doing it later on.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a Korean lady.
Yeah.
They're better at everything.
I can whistle it.
But and then they had those weird creatures that were working with Gary Oldman,
right.
And they were all modeled after Fred Thompson.
100%.
You know who I'm talking about? That actor?
Yes.
Yeah.
The
Bryce
politician.
Is a homosexual.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he was an actor before he's a politician.
Oh, I saw him in Feds. That's what Feds. I knew him from.
He was also in Law and Order.
Yeah.
Well, now he's dead.
R.I.P.
Spawn. That's a movie which a lot of people. It's polarizing. I liked it.
It was okay. I liked the cartoon a lot better.
Yeah, me too. But the film's good. John Leguizamo's interesting. Michael Jai White plays Spawn, and Martin Sheen. I always liked the character Spawn. I thought Todd McFarlane did a great job when he created that comic book, and I loved it. I love the art. I love the writing, and it just you don't hear a lot about Spawn anymore. So hopefully
they're making a new one.
James Mangold is the last real big film from that summer on our list. Copland with Sylvester Stallone, Harvey Keitel, Ray Liotta, Robert De Niro, Michael Rapaport. That cast was amazing. It's a good, slow-moving but entertaining film. And Stallone was robbed of an Oscar.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who robbed him, but I was pissed. I'm always pissed when people I like don't win. He got fat. He played a really good role. De Niro just kind of phoned it in, but Michael Rapaport is the main character of the film. I mean, he's the plot device in the film, and it's just enjoyable. Did you see that movie, Autumn?
No, I didn't.
It might have been the last half decent Robert De Niro movie.
It looked
gross. You're right. Yeah. What do you mean?
It looked kind of gross. Like I remember seeing the previews, you know, for it, the trailers for it, and it was I don't know, rainy and dark, and there were, I think, wasn't John Leguizamo like gross in it? Didn't he look gross?
No, we're not talking about Spawn anymore.
Oh, you're not?
No, we're talking about Copland.
Oh, I missed it.
That's okay.
No, I didn't see Copland.
It does rain in the movie once.
Okay. My bad. We're all stoned.
Other people in the movie, Annabelle Sciorra, Janine Garofalo, Robert Patrick. I mean, it's a great cast, and... you know, damn, it's just, it's sad that he didn't get the Oscar. That's one thing that always bothered me. Kathy Moriarty, Frank Vincent. I mean,
now he'll get the Oscar for this final Rambo movie.
You think so?
Fuck no.
No way.
Hey, she got lady cancer.
Edie Falco's in it. I mean, this it's Sopranos people, and you know, it was shot in that area too. Great
Can
plot.
I,
go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to name some other movies that were out in 97 well, that I liked.
Okay, hang on a second.
Yeah,
because this is the summer. G.I. Jane sucked. Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson sucked. Out to Sea, that also sucked. Leave It to Beaver sucked. And the top shit movie, though, of the summer of 1997 is Batman and Robin. Are the movies you're going to mention from the summer?
I guess I don't know if they're from the summer, so never mind.
You can still say movies from 97 that
well,
you
Austin
like.
Powers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That wasn't a summer movie. But
As Good as It Gets.
Yeah, good movie.
I loved that.
How do you write
Full
women
Monty,
so well? Well, I
Boogie
think,
Nights.
I think about a man, and then I remove reason.
Boogie Nights, 97? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys see... Oh. Starship
no.
Troopers?
Yeah, of course.
Starship Troopers.
Yep. Wag the Dog. I watched that. I saw that in the theater, and I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Wag the Dog was good to see in the theater, but it was not... It does not hold up.
No.
If you try to watch it now, no.
The Game. Remember The Game?
No.
With Michael Douglas.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That.
Where yeah. he like, I'm in a game. I'm going to play this game. And he's like, I want to stop playing the game. They're like, you're not in a game.
Didn't Bullworth come out in 97? Or was that 98?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, yeah, those are all good movies to remember. Yeah. But
Princess
again,
Mononoke.
Of course. Sorry. That just was released in... No, Spirited Away was just released in Japan.
Just released.
Not Japan, China. And it was.
What do you mean? They weren't allowing it or something?
No, it was either Spirited Away or Princess Mononoke. One of those two was released in China, and it was the biggest film 2 weeks in a row.
Why was it released now?
Because Chinese hate Japan. I don't know.
Really?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man.
But 97, not that great a year for summer films. We'll be doing more blockbuster summers as the summer wears on.
This was fun. I really liked it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do 1989. I don't know how many movies Autumn has seen from 89, but we'll
I've seen things.
I've seen them. I got a TV.
I know all kinds of
Autumn,
things.
Autumn, go to Blockbuster and rent all the movies from 1989.
Oh, it's going
to
cost a fortune.
How will you get them all in one place?
Yeah.
All right. So I don't have a staff pick this week. Do you guys have staff picks?
Mine was that Rook.
Tell us about it. We didn't really
get
it.
It's on Stars. Olivia Munn. It's like there's like a top secret English spy agency for spies that have paranormal abilities.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty interesting. It's one of those Star series, so it's not going to be great, but I'm going to watch it.
All right. You got one, Autumn?
Not really. I was going to talk about stuff I'd seen, which was I showed my kids Spirited Away.
Oh, did they like it?
Just talked about. They were a little scared. Pete is, he's a little scared of things.
Yeah.
Which is sweet. And
well,
Ellie was
it's a scary film, kind of.
There's some scary stuff, like that no face guy turns into a scary black monster thing, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of questions from Ellie, like why is she a bird, and you know what's
shut up and watch.
I know it was a little confusing because she's five, and then Pete's only 2.5. But yeah, he was like, I don't like this movie. He was like, turn it off. He didn't like
Aww.
It.
Show him Planet of the Apes, the original.
Okay,
that'll
yeah.
scare the shit out of him.
Yeah, I'll show him, The Shining or something.
Ooh.
And then I also watched, this is not my staff pick, but I watched Wig on HBO. It's a documentary about wig stock
yeah.
that happened in New York. And it started as this like tiny little thing, and then it became this gigantic thing. And it was interesting, but the focus, one of the people that they focused on was this like trans couple. And she was always naked, and I liked it because they gave you a lot of history of Lady Bunny, who's this famous drag queen in New York, and everything, but it even messed with me. Like I felt like I could feel this trans person's pathology through the screen, and it didn't feel as like self-actualized as the other queens were. This person like was pretending, it felt like, that she was like, I'm just happy in my skin and this is just who I am, except she was constantly naked and constantly getting high and stripping and stuff for the crowd. And it just was not, I don't know, it didn't give me what RuPaul's Drag Race does or what other drag performances do. It was a little, it's like if you're not enmeshed in like the politics of drag,
the politics,
then you're not gonna like
dragging.
It. Gonna like it. Okay. If you like it for the fun of drag, then you're not gonna like it. I'm sorry, if you are enmeshed in it, in that stuff, then you will like it. If you're not,
so you have to,
then you won't
put on like a garter belt to enjoy it?
No, more like you gotta put on like a social justice warrior hat and be like, good for her. She's showing her penis even though she's a woman. Like good for her, you know, it's like, all right.
Slay.
You don't have to, you're not proving anything by stripping naked with your breasts and your penis out to a bunch of like people who are into drag. You're not proving anything to them.
Speaking of breasts and penises, did anybody watch Euphoria besides me?
I tried. It was too ridiculous.
It's so, I don't know what the word for it is, but it's like remember when you're in high school and like everything just like mattered so much?
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like I can't.
I don't want to feel that again. And
I know.
And I look at that thing now. Like, get over it.
It's what, like, is this called again?
Euphoria. It's on.
Oh, with
HBO.
Zendaya something. Oh,
right. Zendaya from the Spider-Man movies. Yeah.
See, I think I was getting that same feeling.
A lot of nudity in it. A lot of penises.
Yeah. What were we saying on them?
I got the same sort of feeling, but maybe in a lighter way from Pen 15.
Right. I want to check that. Is that on Hulu?
Oh, it's really great. Yes.
Yeah, I want to watch that. Hulu. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Mm. All right.
It's about being in, it's starting high school in the year 2000.
I actually do have a staff pick now. Did you do yours, Autumn? You didn't have one.
No.
Stranger Things returns next week, July 4th.
Yeah. Yay.
And, you know, we do have that T-shirt available at our store. And also,
at our store.
And I will be putting another link up so you can find the T-shirt available for you if you so choose.
And if you need a cookie or puss.
Yeah.
you sounded a little like Carvel guy.
My name is Carvel. You cook at your Carvel ice cream store. Just in time for Father's Day, it's Cookie Puss. Cookie Puss. Cookie Puss bringing you joy from across the galaxy. Cookie Puss.
And Fudgy the Whale, which was just Cookie Puss upside down.
What's that Patton Oswalt? It goes Cripplio. It's something Cripplio claws where they bringing you the joy as you lie bleeding on the forest floor. Patio Cripply. That's what it was. Patio Cripply bringing you St. Patrick's Day delights as you drags across. Anyway, whatever. So check that out. We have our T-shirt, and let's
get that T-shirt, and we're doing that live show.
Yes,
August 31st.
I'll tell you about that. We have to actually meet about that. You, me, and Sean. Live show is August 31st at the Relapse Theater at 8 p.m. More details to come, but we have guests: Joe Galois, Josh Warren, Joe Pettis, Ming Chen, and hopefully, and then also coming up later this month, July anyway, Pete Davis will be on the show. From the Kimmer Show, we had him on one of our first
early
shows, and it'll be nice to catch up with him, see what he's up to. He has a podcast, so we can talk about that. And then we'll be doing our it comes so fast, just like me. Dan Carroll will be on the show on July 24th, right?
Tentatively,
and we'll be talking about Dragon Con. I can't wait.
Yep.
And we are going to a convention in July, so hopefully we can get some cool stuff there. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, we're going to the Atlanta Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Val Kilmer is going to be there.
Yeah.
Adam Baldwin is going to be there.
Ginny Weasley is going
to
be
Are you
going
to pay to see or to talk to Val Kilmer?
No.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't pay $80 to get his autograph.
Yeah.
Who would you spend $80 to get an autograph
William
for?
William Shatner.
Really?
Because it's the only
Shatner's
way you can
like
get it.
$100,
yeah, it's the only way you can get his autograph, and if you want it, that's what you got to do. I mean, yeah. I don't begrudge people for doing that. They're all from an era when they didn't get residuals on their show.
Ryan Hurst, that's who I want.
Yeah,
to see.
I want to see
not
him
Val
too.
Kilmer.
No, but he's broke. Shouldn't have bought all those houses.
Shouldn't have gotten.
Adam Baldwin, Creed Bratton from The Office.
Yeah, I love
there.
Creed. He's a great guy.
Bring your Grassroots records.
Yeah,
and sign it.
Yep. Sign this. And what else? That's it. So we're going to see Adam Sandler next week. Hopefully, if I can get it done, we'll be doing a show with Mark
Is he here? Aaron. Because I thought he was going to Vegas.
He is, but he'll be here in the day I'm going to record the show. So, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again very, very soon. And until that time, please remember to
keep it canon.
Linda Hamm.
Hello, radios. It's me, Autumn Fisher. Just want to thank you for listening to Radio Labyrinth. We love you guys. We appreciate you. I want to give a special shout out to all of our Patreon donators. If you're not donating on Patreon, please go check us out at patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have some new things going on over there. We're sort of flipping some things around to get you guys motivated and keep you happy. So please go check that out. Also, I want to thank our new little baby Patreon donators, Ryan Wilson, Brian Smith, Jesse Rosinski, Chiru, Melissa Knowles. You guys are my newest little tiny little ducklings, and we really appreciate it. Give us all of you Patreon donators, direct message us. Sort of tell us what you'd like to see. Tell us things you'd like to change. Tell us things that you want. We'll do it. We want you here. So I want to go through the list and thank everybody who's donating. Walt Murray, Robert Calderman, Lauren Calderman, Robert Haley, Sam Wells, Alan Barker, Ruben Aguilar, Dustin Lawler, Mark Hierro, Chris Knight, Trent, Seth Ingram, Kit Beatty, yes, Ian Stull, Jeff Peterson, Andrew Mulazzi, Gwen Ketchum, Nicholas Frank, Adam Kelly, Sherry Doherty, Dean Poole, Chris Cosentino, Daniel Pitts, Leslie Haney, Brennan Price, John Sutherland, Andrew Harbin, Wayne Blair, Jeremy Turman, Kevin Stokes, Rusty Weinberg, Chris Weiland, Leslie Norman, Lou Caniglio, Dan Carroll, Denise Reynolds, Mike
Day,
Jason Chappell, Brian Jackson, Emily Warren, Mark Weiland, Debbie McDonald, David C. Funk, Beth Van Elswick, Amber Gilpatrick, Colin Oman, Aaron Robert, Chad Shepard, Buck Monterey, Herb Lamb, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Garrett Kimball, Andrew Hopkins, Mike Hall, we're getting into the big daddies now, Al McMeekin, Jonathan Wilson, Sean Hall, Keith Tate, Mike Spittler, and finally, last but not least, not gone and not forgotten, Wendy Muller. Thank you, guys. We love you. We appreciate you. Keep it canon.